What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trent Williams, kind of talking about the next man up mentality.
Next man up. It sucks. Guys are the best in the world, but who really feels sorry for us? So it's next man up league. Couple guys that we want to see get more action anyway. Hate it had to come on the heels of somebody being injured, but when opportunities present themselves, and nobody would have known Jordan if a couple guys didn't go down, and nobody would have known Brock if we didn't lose three quarterbacks in 1 year. It's a blessing in disguise, and guys just got to be ready to step up.
That's an interesting way to put it, right? Like, think about all of the 49ers, one way or another, who have sort of, like, come from injury. I could, he mentions Brock Purdy. He mentions Jordan Mason in a completely different form. The 49ers have Nick Bosa on the team because of an injury. I don't want this season to go that way. That's not what I'm saying at all. But, like, yeah, I would imagine in the locker room, that's the way it's handled. They don't handle it like we do, where we're just like, oh hell. Like, I'll tell you what, he mentions there's some people that we wanted to get more time to anyway. I wonder who is he talking about there. Is he talking about Eric Saubert?
Could be.
Because who else is filling in? Is he talking about Jacob Cowing? I would love to see what he can do on the football field this weekend.
Of course, and you might get your wish granted because you're in a situation where you don't have a lot of your other wide receivers available. Deebo Samuel played 60 snaps, 60 of the 70 snaps that you had available in last week's game, and we know that he's not going to be out. Jordan Mason has now become a household name, not only here locally, but across the country because of Christian McCaffrey. So he's going to get more snaps. And you look at, you know, what we'd have with Ricky Pearsall, had he not gotten shot, he would be getting totally a ton of snaps, and he'd be probably one of the most added players in fantasy football.
By the way, he might be back before Deebo.
Good point.
As crazy as it sounds, we may get some Ricky Pearsall out of this. He absolutely might be back before Deebo. You know, Deebo was going to be at least a couple weeks, so it's not just this week and next week for Deebo necessarily.
Right.
Now, will Pearsall be ready week five? I don't know. But, like, that's a fun one, too. 888-957-9570. Who's not been getting time? Who you want to see? Who would you like to see more of that may get an opportunity out of this? For me, that answer is Jacob Cowing.
Yep.
Because the 49ers do have a hard time with downfield wide receiver speed, you know, at the highest of levels, I think that he's someone who can bring that dynamic to the football field.
We'll see if he gets the opportunity. Last week against Minnesota, he played a grand total of, checks notes, zero snaps.
Zero snaps.
He played three snaps on special teams.
And dropped the ball one time.
Exactly. So is he a guy that Kyle Shanahan's going to feel really good about giving a lion's share of opportunity to after what we've seen? And so far he's played zero snaps on offense and he's played seven snaps on special teams in two games.
Right.
So you're going to go from no snaps to what, suddenly now you're going to get 40 snaps?
No. I don't think anything like that. But if he's in there for 12, like take a couple shots. Give it a shot. Let's see where we're at. You know what I mean?
Like, feels to me like he's going to be further down. Like Ronnie Bell, for me, would get that opportunity before Jacob Cowing.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know where the trust level is.
Right.
The trust level must be somewhere. They're sticking him out there to catch punts. That's trust.
They had. I don't know if they will again.
I don't know.
And Kyle Shanahan, it seems to me, has a very low tolerance for that, which is go catch the ball and you don't catch the ball.
What coach doesn't?
Well,
no coach has patience for dropping the punt.
I think that Shanahan and Steve Kerr sit down in a shadowy cafe somewhere and they talk about how much they hate young people. And I'm obviously kidding, but if you look at the young people and their snaps, Isaac Garendo got one carry and it didn't go well.
I don't love the young people.
End of snaps for Isaac Garendo.
You know what John Lynch said today now? I mean, it's just John Lynch talking. They really, really like Garendo.
Yeah.
There were like a couple reallys in there.
Okay.
I really like him. That'd be my second answer.
Guerrero.
Yeah, let's take a look.
Okay.
Let's take a look.
Sure.
They think he can pop a couple. So let's see it.
I look at wide receivers and think that you're going to see a lot more Chris Conley. Obviously, he played 9 snaps last game. Juwan Jennings is going to go up into the deep, not the Deebo role, but he'll get the Deebo amount of snaps, I would imagine. It's going to be Ayuk and Deebo. It's going to be Ayuk and Juwan.
I hope Juwan doesn't get the Deebo snaps, because remember against Detroit when
didn't
they came
well.
Out and they're like, all right, jet sweep Juwan. Okay, 2nd and 12. Let's do this next. So, yes.
And that was a classic Kyle Shanahan. Like, I didn't know that he was back there and stuff, or right. I probably wouldn't have called it and stuff. And I kind of regret that.
He thought Deebo was on the field. Deebo wasn't on the field.
Right.
Lots of people going on out there on the
football
field.
He ran a little running play for a wide receiver that wasn't Deebo, and they lost, I think, 6 yards in the play or something.
It didn't go well.
I would imagine your receivers, it's going to be Conley and Juwan and Brandon Ayuk, but it's mainly going to be Ayuk and Juwan Jennings.
Sure.
Jordan Mason's going to get all the carries, and probably Jake Tongis is going to be the second tight end with Saubert. But I do think, for those of you interested in props, keep your eyes on Kyle Juszczyk in the pass game. I think that Juszczyk is going to have a bigger role than normal.
That'd be great. There's a lot of trust there. By the way, speaking of Jacob Cowings' muffed punt, Kyle Shanahan, a couple days ago.
This one muff punt, I mean, just when it comes to catching stuff, he's been as natural of a catcher as we've had in our 8 years here, just in practice, how he's been in the games. I know that one got away from him, which we can't have those, but everyone muffs one here and there, and you just hope that was the end of it.
Everyone muffs one here and there. All good.
Some natural, guys muff two here and there.
Well, then you're out.
Okay.
Then you're out. But not yet. Not one.
And he knows he can't do that.
Yeah.
That's kind of what he said about Steve Wilks.
Exactly.
He knows he can't do that.
Jacob knows he messed up.
He does.
I can honestly say I'm sort of built for this.
Well, maybe not. Let's go to Rob in Concord. Hi, Rob. You're on with Willie and Dibby.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
Friday. So, really quickly, I think Brock Purdy's a great quarterback in the sense that he's doing everything he can. And I always look back and tell a couple of friends, a couple of Niner fans, that while maybe there are struggles, you could put any quarterback back there if they're not getting the protection, especially on the left side. I don't care if it's Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Kurt Warner. The list goes on of fantastic or great. It doesn't matter. I mean, they're going to get hit. They're going to be under pressure. But I'm happy with Brock Purdy. That being said, I'm still not sure about Kyle Shanahan. Maybe it comes down to, you know, how when he came into this league as a 49ers coach, or from being an OC on other teams, that he's been named this genius. And as he is, I just don't know if while he's a genius playbook offensively, the struggles that he has when he's under duress.
Rob, you're my favorite caller of the week, because you have represented a couple of things that I have the hardest time understanding, and I'm not trying to call you out, but I do want to, can we talk a little bit? Can we have a chat, Rob?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's do two things. First of all, why does everybody talk about this genius word as if Kyle has it tattooed on his forehead? Kyle has never called himself a genius. And I feel like people are so triggered by the word, and I don't even really hear it all that much. If I do hear it, it's coming from other people in the NFL. Richard Sherman has said it, for example. And so I'm like, if people who've played for the guy or people who have tried to defend the guy think that his system is genius and very, very difficult, yet Kyle has never like asked to be called that, why does that get everyone so much, Rob?
That's the thing is, I don't know. That's not one thing that I try to call him. Again, it's something that where he's received that title. I think if we heard less of that, I think many people would probably not put the pressure to watch the games and hope that every time that Kyle is on the field with the 49ers, that the expectation is 50-plus points, right? And if the 49ers aren't scoring and are not getting ahead of the team that they're playing by 14 points, then it's well, what's Kyle going to do now? He's under duress. What's the game plan? Is it now just pass, get away from the running game? So, to me, that is a concern, but it's not the sense that I'm trying to call the man a genius.
Yeah.
In all fairness, he's gotten the team to four NFC championships, find, of course, one where Brock Purdy was injured. But, you know, getting the team to the Super Bowl and coming up short, okay. But we've seen other teams where, hey, look, they'll never get that opportunity, so hopefully the Niners get another opportunity this season. Mindful that the team can stay healthy, and if they can, maybe they'll get healthy at the end of the season when it matters the most, and, you know, if they can stay healthy through the end of the season and into the postseason, then, you know, I think it's fair to say that most teams in that situation normally have the most success.
Yeah, Rob, thank you very much. I mean, the other thing I was going to kind of bring up is at a certain point early in his call, he goes, I'm still not sure about
Shanahan.
Still not sure about Shanahan.
Right.
And I can't even say it without laughing. He said he's sold on Brock Purdy, but not on Shanahan.
That's interesting.
And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, look, you don't have to love Kyle Shanahan. That's not what I'm saying. But how could you not be sold on him? Like, look what he's built. Why do we always go, that play call? Why don't you look at 6 years, remember where the Niners were for a long time before he got here?
The crapper is the answer.
I don't understand. How can you not be sold on Kyle Shanahan? You cannot have a smart conversation and be like, the guy's a crappy coach. Like, that's just, that's crazy.
Agreed.
It's absolutely crazy.
We talked yesterday about where you wanted to rank, and I think that it was Kay Adams who had the soundbite from the Up and Adams podcast talking about outside of Andy Reid, who would you look at as the best coach? It was DeSean Jackson who answered, and he answered Sean McVay.
Sean McVay.
And I do think if you want to look at the top five coaches in the NFL, Sean McVay, you could argue, is in there. Andy, it's tough to say that he's not number one.
Yep.
And then we talked about John Harbaugh, Mike Tomlin, Kyle Shanahan. For me, there's your group of five. And however you want to order them, it's up to you, and it's all up to personal preference. But I do think that you can't have a conversation about top five coaches in the NFL without including Kyle Shanahan. Is he perfect? Of course not. Is he sometimes too much of an offensive coordinator and not enough of a game manager? That's a criticism that you can maybe levy, and you can look at that and think maybe that's a fair way to look at it, but I don't know if you can look at what he's done, and I agree with you, from where they were to where they are, year in and year out. For me, it's hard to say. I'm still not sure about Kyle Shanahan.
I look around the league, and I don't even know. The five you brought up, from Tomlin, Harbaugh, McVay, Shanahan, and Reid, I think those would be the most popular five answers. I don't even know sort of how you would deviate from that too far. Other names that I guess you could bring up, D'Amico Ryans has had a wonderful start.
Great start.
To his Houston career.
Yep, yep.
So he's rising fast. The other, Harbaugh, just got back into the league. That's off to a good start, but I mean, it's been two games.
What he did the first time counts, I think.
For sure. Then that's fair.
And even Sean Payton, at what he did the first time.
Although things are getting questionable fast over there.
Which is why I would not put him in my top five, even though his New Orleans stint, I think, would put him in the conversation. I do think that what he's doing in Denver is a little bit wonky.
Last year, people would have said, hey, here comes Mike McDaniel.
Okay.
Although that's hit the skids a little bit. And then, look, if I just want to drink and have a good time, Dan Campbell is the best coach in the league.
Absolutely.
His Applebee's commercials are hilarious. 4th and 27, he goes for it. I'm in on Dan Campbell.
We're going to bite a kneecap off.
Like that's kind of the one-night stand of coaches. Like,
totally.
If I'm just here to party and have a good time, ha! Dan Campbell, that's my guy.
If I'm sitting outside in the winter and I need a seat warmer, I'm sitting next to Mike McCarthy because he's been on the hot seat for about 3 years.
Well, whoever's on the Cowboys is always on the hot seat.
But he's been on that seat now for years, and I do think that LeFleur
is good too. Yes, LeFleur, very, very good coach.
Good coach. And even,
and so's O'Connell.
What I was going to say,
he's a good coach.
And McDermott in Buffalo, I do think gets a little bit...
Meh.
Well, I think that he gets a little bit of a bad rap. He's better than mid.
They've been very successful.
Yeah. And this year, though, much like Brock Purdy this weekend, this year for Mike McDermott becomes a litmus test where you don't have an offense with all these weapons. You got to go out there and still be a really good team in a tough division. So much like Brock this weekend without weapons, I do think that McDermott this whole season becomes a little bit of a test for him to see what you can do now without all those weapons.
Now, I want to circle back for a second to this genius conversation.
Sure.
My God, it comes up every day. And do you know what it sounds like to me? I want to compare it to something real quick. Kyle is a supposed genius. To me, sounds exactly like this. Farhan told us we were getting Shohei.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the same comment. I don't know where this came from. Why does everybody, I don't think, like, the word genius, for me, it's like something's wrong with my Apple computer, so I'm going to go to the genius bar. Or, I don't know, Einstein, but like, this is, he's a very good football coach, provable, very, very good football coach. And you will hear people say, and I mean now people who've played defense in the NFL, his offensive scheme, his movement, pre-snap motion, I guess some people will use that word. It's genius. It's hard. It's whatever. It's very complex. But I feel like a lot of people come after this word as if Kyle has it as his license plate. He didn't do that. And I don't even know that many people who are. So why have we gone down this road of like, oh, Mr. Genius can't convert on third down? Why has that got people's brains in that direction? Nobody said that.
But it's because of the perceived arrogance is what it is. And it's perceived arrogance and it's perceived genius because he's got the laminated play sheet and he's a son of a coach and they are very innovative in what they do, and he's been able to do a lot with an undrafted running back now and a Mr. Irrelevant quarterback and all these other things. He's overachieved in perception, and he does it with a certain amount of humility that comes across to some people as him being smug and arrogant. And oh, he thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. And well, I honestly want my head coach, my play caller, to think that he's the smartest guy in the room.
I don't know that he does.
That's a perception. It's all perception.
It's another label where it's like, I mean, is he very, very believing in what he's doing? Yes.
They all should be.
Yeah, I would refer to that as confidence. Is Dan Campbell the smartest guy in the room when he goes for it on 4th and 3 when he should kick a field goal? Or is he just like, well, look at him. He's got a beard and he yells and he's fun.
Got so, big stones.
Yes, yeah, so no, right. There you go. There you go.
Look at the big rocks on Campbell.
So if you look like a blue-collar dude, you got stones. But if you're kind of, if you look like, I mean, like his dad was nicknamed the Rat. Like, if that's your look, well, now you're the smartest guy in the room. Or if you're Farhan, and I, like to me, I mean, even the race card comes into it with Farhan, where he's just automatically, he's a laptop nerd. It's like, that's not who these people are. It's not. I mean,
well, none of them. Can you tell me that Dan Campbell is not smart because he's a big, brawny guy who makes reckless calls on fourth down? So now he's just a big, like, dunderhead, lunkheaded guy because he's so big?
I don't think you can be a head coach in the NFL if you're not smart. I don't think you can be that successful in life if you're not smart.
And I don't think you can be a head coach in the NFL if you're not a leader of men. So Kyle Shanahan's this genius with this laminated play sheet, and the perception then becomes, well, he's just a brainiac who can't really like control a locker room, and he's not a real leader because he's just this offensive wizard and he's a genius. But none of that's actually true. And Dan Campbell is smarter than you think, and Kyle Shanahan is more of an alpha male than you think.
Yep. Absolutely.
And so it just comes down to perception.
Well, I also think, look, if you've been a 49er fan for a little while, here's one thing. Forget my opinion or yours. The opinion of those who work in the building. You want to know who's more arrogant than Kyle Shanahan? Jim Harbaugh. That's who's more arrogant than Kyle Shanahan. That's who's a bigger you-know-what to the people around him. That's who wears people out more. When we had gotten this far into Jim Harbaugh's regime, everybody
was gone.
Correct. He was gone, and everyone was mad at everyone. So now, here we're 6 years in, right? Is this year seven?
Year seven, I think.
We are 6.5 years into Kyle Shanahan, and I don't see things coming apart at the seams in terms of emotion, in terms of relationships, in terms of the standings. I don't see that.
No.
So this arrogant jerk, like, does he have a little bit of a swagger in him? Does he have a little bit of, like, he's just going to say it and put it on the table? Sure, he's direct. Does that mean some people might think he's a jerk? I'm sure some people do. But it sounds like very few compared to people who think the opposite who have played for him.
Exactly. And you've never really seen a locker room break apart. And you look at the trajectory of Kyle Shanahan's coaching tenure, and it's gone only up, other than the year where his quarterback got hurt in week two or week three. That was a down year. But other than that, his teams have been competitive. The roster has been full. And players have shown a desire to want to come here. So whatever fans think and whatever the perception is, that perception is outside the building, and it's usually wrong.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.